理课堂听 class.com。
The favorite son. God called upon Jacob to go to Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan. When they got to Bethel, Jacob and the others built an altar. Jacob poured oil over it to thank God for all that God had done. Rachel was carrying her second child, and she was very weary. When the baby was born, Rachel became sick and died. Jacob named the baby boy Benjamin. Jacob had 12 sons, but he favored Joseph, Rachel's firstborn. He showed his love for Joseph in many ways. Once he gave him a beautiful coat made up of many colors. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. The more special treatment he got, the more they hated him. Joseph had told them stories of a dream he had one night. He said they were out in the fields harvesting the grain. The crops were bundled up in sheaves, and the brothers' sheaves began to bow to Joseph's sheaves. That really made the brothers angry.
"Do you now think you will reign over us?" they asked.
But Joseph had another dream. In it, he dreamed that the sun, moon, and 11 stars all bowed to him. His father heard about this dream and was very troubled by it.
"Does this mean that I and my wife and all your brothers must bow down before you?"
Joseph's brothers had gone out into the fields to feed Jacob's animals. They had been gone for some time, and Jacob asked Joseph to go find them. The brothers saw Joseph coming toward them.
"Here comes Joseph the dreamer," they said. "Let's kill him and throw him in a pit. We can say a beast ate him up. No one will ever know. We'll see what happens to his big dreams then."
Reuben was Joseph's oldest brother. He knew it was wrong to kill the boy. He thought of a way to keep Joseph safe from the others.
"We shouldn't kill him," he said. "Let's just drop him down that dried-up well and scare him."
Joseph came closer. He was wearing the beautiful coat his father had given him. The brothers grabbed him and ripped it off. They dropped Joseph down into the dark well. The brothers did not feel bad about harming their little brother. They sat down with their lunches and began to eat as if nothing had happened. The brothers noticed a group of camels in the distance. When the caravan got closer, they could tell it was a group of traders on their way to Egypt. Judah suggested to sell Joseph to those men. The brothers agreed. They dragged Joseph out of the pit and sold him as a slave for 20 silver pieces. Reuben was not with the others. It was too late to save Joseph when he got back, though.
"What will we tell our father now?" asked Reuben.
One of the brothers picked up Joseph's coat of many colors. They poured goat's blood over it to make it look like Joseph had been attacked and killed by a wild beast. When they showed the coat to Jacob, he knew that his favorite son must be dead.
"I will mourn for him until I too am dead," he said.
Jacob wept for Joseph, and the other children could do nothing to comfort him. Joseph was sold to a man in Egypt named Potiphar. He was head of the guards who protected Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph's master came to trust and like him very much because Joseph was a hard worker. Potiphar's wife became very fond of Joseph too. She tried to lure Joseph but was refused. That made the woman very angry. She lied to her husband about what had happened to make it look like Joseph had chased after her. Potiphar believed his wife's tale and had Joseph put into prison. Even though he was locked away for something he didn't do, Joseph didn't turn away from God. And God stayed by Joseph's side through everything that happened to him. Dreams. Joseph became the favorite of the jailer. He gave Joseph the job of looking after the other prisoners. Two new prisoners arrived one day. One was the king's baker, and the other was one of his butlers. The jailer told Joseph to take special care of these two, so every morning he came to their cell to make sure they were all right. One morning, they told Joseph they had both had strange dreams the night before. Joseph said if they tell the dreams, he could help them. The butler, who was in charge of serving the king his wine, had dreamed of pressing grapes into the king's cup. Joseph told him that meant that he would be set free to go back to his job. The baker told of three white baskets full of bread. He dreamed that birds flew down and ate the bread before he could give it to Pharaoh. 3 days from now, the king will order you to be killed, Joseph told the baker. 3 days later, everything happened as Joseph had said. Joseph stayed in prison for 2 more years after the butler was set free. Then, Pharaoh awoke one night from a very mysterious dream. He gathered the wisest men of the country together, but no one could tell him what the dream meant. When the butler heard of the king's problem, he remembered the dream he had had in prison. "Sir, I knew a man in prison who told me what my dreams meant," said the butler. "Everything he told me came true." The king had Joseph brought before him. "Is it true that you can tell me what my dreams mean?" asked the king. "I can't do it myself," said Joseph. "But God will help me." The king told Joseph he had dreamed that he saw 7 fat cows standing near the river. 7 skinny cows came by and ate the fat ones. Then he saw 7 ripe ears of corn on a stalk. 7 sickly ears began to grow on the same stalk and ate up the good ears. "God is warning you about a great famine," said Joseph. 7 years of good crops will be followed by 7 years when the crops won't grow and your people will go hungry. Joseph's plan. The king was very upset by what Joseph had told him. He did not want the people of Egypt to starve during the 7 years of famine. "If the king will do these things," said Joseph, "then the people can be saved." Pharaoh listened closely to what Joseph told him. "You must first find a wise man to be in charge of the crops during the 7 good years. He can see that plenty of food is stored away. Then, when the bad times come, he can see that the people get plenty to eat." "No one could be better for that job than you," the king said to Joseph. "After all, you are the one God chose to bring us this message." Joseph went to work for Pharaoh. He spent the first 7 years traveling around the countryside in his chariot, making sure the grain was harvested and put away in the king's storehouses. The next 7 years brought a great famine, as Joseph had said. The people of Egypt cried out to their king for help.
"Go see Joseph," the king told them, "and do whatever he tells you."
Jacob, Joseph's father, heard of the great stores of grain in Egypt. He sent Joseph's brothers to buy some of it for their family. They made the long journey from Canaan to Egypt. When they got there, they were told that the governor of the city was in charge of the grain. So they came to the governor, Joseph.
"We have come from Canaan to buy food for our families," they said.
"No,
you have come only as spies to see how bad things are in Egypt," Joseph said.
"That is not true," they said.
"We are brothers. There were 12 of us, but one is gone, and the other is with our father."
Benjamin was not with the brothers, so Joseph knew he was the one left behind. He told the others he would keep them prisoners and send one of them back to fetch the youngest brother.
"That will prove to me that you aren't spies," he said.
The brothers stayed in prison for 3 days. Joseph came to speak with them again. This time he had another plan.
"Let one of your brothers stay here," he said. "The rest of you carry corn back to your home. But if you want to be safe, bring the youngest brother back to me so I'll know you are really telling the truth."
They began to talk to each other in their native language, Hebrew, thinking that Joseph would not be able to understand them.
"It is a terrible thing that we did to our brother Joseph. Now we are being punished for it," they said.
Reuben said to them,
"Didn't I tell you that we should not hurt the boy? You didn't listen to me, and now we must pay for what we've done to him."
Joseph turned his back and wept when he heard what his brothers said about him. Then he sent all but his brother Simeon back to Canaan. Back to Egypt. The food the brothers had brought back with them did not last long. The famine grew worse, and Jacob told his sons they must go back to Egypt to buy more.
"We have already told you," said Judah. "The governor will not let us come back to the city unless we bring Benjamin."
Judah promised to take care of Benjamin and guard him with his life, so Jacob finally gave in. Joseph had returned the money that the brothers had brought to pay for the grain the last time, and Jacob told them they must take extra money to pay him back. When the brothers reached Joseph's house, he invited them in for a meal.
"Is this the brother you call Benjamin?" he asked.
Benjamin walked toward his brother. But Joseph had to leave the room because he was so overcome with affection for his little brother that he was about to weep. Then Joseph made the brothers sit in a row according to their ages, and they were surprised at that. When he sent food to their table, Joseph made sure Benjamin's plate had the most of all. The next morning, Joseph ordered the brothers' sacks to be filled with grain for their journey home. Once again, he returned all their money to them. But this time, Joseph asked the servants to do something unusual.
"Put my silver cup in the sack of the youngest brother," he told them.
After the brothers had journeyed outside the city, Joseph sent a servant to go after them.
"Which one of you has stolen my master's cup?" shouted the servant when he had reached them.
"We have taken nothing," they said.
"Look, we have even returned the money that was sent back in our sacks. If you find one of us has the cup, kill him and take the rest of us as slaves."
"I will take the guilty one with me," said the servant. "The rest will go free."
The servant searched all the sacks. He saved Benjamin's for last because he was the youngest. He reached deep into the sack, and there was the silver cup. Benjamin's brothers returned to the city with him. Judah fell down before Joseph and begged his forgiveness.
"Our father will die if we don't bring Benjamin back," he said. "Send him and keep me instead."
Judah continued to plead with Joseph until Joseph could stand it no longer. He sent the servants out of the room. Then he spoke to his brothers in their native language.
"I am Joseph," he cried. "I am the brother you sold as a slave."
Joseph told his brothers not to feel guilty about what they had done to him.
"God sent me here to help people stay alive during the famine. It will last 5 more years, but I will care for you and make sure you do not go hungry."
The Pharaoh told Joseph to send word for all his family to come to Egypt and settle there. Joseph sent his brothers back to Canaan loaded with gifts. He couldn't wait for them to tell his father the good news. Jacob almost fainted when he heard that Joseph was alive. He wanted to see his son again very much, but he wasn't sure he should leave his homeland and move to Egypt. God told Jacob that he would be with him in Egypt and bring him back to Canaan when he died, so the family packed up and went on their way. Jacob and Joseph met in a place called Goshen. The reunion was a very moving one. Jacob said to his son,
"I can die a happy man now, because I have seen my son again."
Jacob lived to be nearly 150 years old. Before he died, he called all of Joseph's children to his side and blessed them. Then the brothers took him back to Canaan to be buried. The Israelites become slaves. Joseph died many years after his father, and his children had many children. The Egyptians began to be afraid because there were so many of Jacob's descendants, or Israelites, as they were called. A new pharaoh came into power. He didn't know what Joseph had done to save the Egyptian people in the great famine. He didn't like the Israelites because they were foreigners, and he feared they would gain too much power. Though treated cruelly, the number of the Israelites grew. Something more must be done to stop the Israelites, the king thought. The king called all the midwives together and spoke to them.
"If you go to the house of an Israelite, and a son is born, you must be sure that he dies."
The midwives were good women who feared God. They told the king that the Israelite women did not need their help. Then the king became very angry. He told the people that every baby boy born to the Israelites must be found and thrown into the Nile River. Not long after the king put his cruel law into effect, a baby boy was born to the family of Levi. The mother could not bear to see her baby hurt, so she hid him for as long as she could. As the baby grew older, his mother planned how to save her child. She made a small boat from reeds and tar. She laid her baby in it and sent the baby's sister, Miriam, with him down to the river. Miriam set the little boat afloat and sat down in the bushes to watch. Nearby, a group of women had come down to the water to bathe. One of these women was the Pharaoh's daughter. She saw the boat floating along and sent one of her servants after it.
"This must be an Israelite child," said the princess.
The little boy began to cry, so she picked him up and held him. Then Miriam walked out of the bushes to speak to the princess.
"Would you like one of the women to nurse the child till he is older?"
she asked. The princess agreed, and Miriam ran to get her mother.
Take this baby home and nurse him until he is older.
The princess said to the baby's mother,
Then I will take him to live with me.
The princess decided to call the baby Moses because he came from out of the water.